Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about refreshing. If you go looking it up in a dictionary, refreshing means to make like new or to restore something. And sometimes we certainly need that. In Acts 3, beginning with verse 13, and to set the stage for you just a little bit, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. As they came up, there was this person there asking for an alms, and they said, "Look on us." So he thought they were going to give him some money. He looks on them and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Took him by his hand, stood him up. This person that was a beggar on the street, a beggar at the steps of the temple, was well known by everybody that went in there. So when he stood up and walked, it caused a little stir. So in the middle of talking about this, this is what Peter said. And Acts 3, I'll start in verse 13. He said, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And in his name, through faith in this name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." Peter says, God fulfilled his word. You were partakers of it in your ignorance. You were partakers of it even though you didn't know what was going on. But God was fulfilling his word, and he was doing this that he might forgive your sins and send you times of refreshing, a time of renewal, a time of setting things right, a time of restoration in all of us. Now, he talks about how the holy prophets had said this back in Isaiah. And I looked at it, but I don't remember the exact passage. But back in Isaiah, it was talking about that God said, you know, "I'm sending this to you to catch your attention and to bring you times of refreshing." But you didn't want anything to do with it. You didn't want to be changed. And that's a problem for all of us. You know, we trust God. We know that God is in control. We know that God loves us. And yet we will still get sometimes wrapped up in whatever's going on. Wrapped up in, "I've got this, you know, I'm just going through day to day. Everything is okay." And we forget that the God who loves us, who knows us intimately, who has called us into relationship with him, wants to meet and supply every need. Wants to direct our steps, wants to lead us, and wants that relationship. He sent his son to restore us into right relationship with him. This refreshing that we need comes from the relationship of God and trusting God no matter what. Still in Acts, we'll go down to chapter 10, when Peter is at Cornelius' house. Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He said he came to bring the peace which comes in relationship with Jesus. The peace which Jesus gives you. That peace is part of our refreshing. The peace of trusting that God has made us right with Him through the blood of Jesus, through recognizing what Jesus has done on our behalf, saying, just like it says in Isaiah 53, when you claim His soul as a sacrifice for sin, He that is the Father looks down and sees Him that is Jesus standing in our stead. And we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in the righteous servant, the suffering servant. What Jesus has done on our behalf makes us holy and righteous before Almighty God. Praise God. I am very, very grateful that I don't come before the Lord in my own righteousness, because my own righteousness won't get me anywhere good. But coming in the righteousness of Jesus Christ does. Psalm 127, beginning with verse 1, says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for He gives His beloved sleep." Again, we're talking about that restoration. Sometimes we need sleep. We need to trust. And what this passage is telling us, it's in vain. It is useless to worry about everything, because God is either going to take care of it or we have no hope anyway. So unless we're trusting and relying upon God, we won't have the rest. We'll just be wrapped up in the turmoil. We have to take the time to recognize that God loves us, that God is in control, that God is shielding us, He is directing us. And when we do that, even when things look bad, if we have it settled in our heart that God is still in control, we're not moved by how things look. There's an old saying, and I couldn't tell you where it came from. I know I've heard it multiple times. But it says, the follower of God in the will of God is immortal until God is done with them. As long as we're trusting that God is going to take care of us, that God is at work in our circumstances, that God is, we are right where God wants us to be, it doesn't matter what goes on around us. Because if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. If things go horribly wrong from the natural standpoint, praise God, we're in the presence of the Lord. And we got there doing exactly what He called us to do. There is a peace and there is a comfort, confidence. There is a comfort in that. Knowing that whatever happens, I belong to God. No matter what. Matthew 6. Verse 31, so we're in the Sermon on the Mount now. Jesus is talking. He says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus said, don't worry about it. Trust God. Seek God. The refreshing that we need comes from just resting in the fact that God's got us. When we look at our circumstances and when we try to figure things out in our own mind, or we get just kind of wrapped up in the day-to-day things and forget to rest in the Lord. Forget to take comfort in the fact that we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who cares for us. We serve a God who knows our needs. We serve a God who answers before we even think to call. When we forget these things, it's very easy to get overwhelmed. It's very easy to get bogged down, burdened down. It's very easy to get frustrated. It's very easy to get anxious. But when we recognize that God is in control, and God loves us, and God is faithful, when we recognize that, there comes a peace, a joy, a calm, a refreshing in our lives, because we know that I don't have to know the answers. I have to know the one who has the answers. When Elijah was running from Jezebel after having killed all the prophets on Mount Carmel, and he ran all the way down into the desert of Beersheba, and he falls asleep under a broom tree, and the angel came and fed him. Woke him up, fed him, gave him something to drink. Elijah went back to sleep. The angel comes again, wakes him up, feeds him and gives him something to drink, because he says, your strength is not sufficient for the journey that's ahead of you. I'm here to tell you, if we try to do this journey that God has placed us on in our own strength, our strength is not sufficient. Our understanding, our righteousness, our whatever is not sufficient. But if we recognize that God is the one who draws us, there is a peace, there is a refreshing, there is a renewal, there is just a strengthening in that. Because we go in His strength, not our own. We go in His understanding and not our own. I don't have to know the answers. I have to know the one who has the answers. When we get overwhelmed by the things we face, or we get overwhelmed by day-to-day living, stop. Take a rest. Seek the refreshing that comes from getting to know who God is. When we rely upon Him, when we seek His face, when we seek His righteousness, as Jesus told us back in Matthew, all of the things we need will be added to us. He says, don't worry about these things. Your Father knows you have need of these things. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. If we seek to draw close to the Lord, God will take care of us. That's why we sang that song, God will take care of you. In every day, in every way, He will take care of you. Because my wisdom, my understanding, my way of doing things is not sufficient. I don't have the answers. Lord, help me to know who does. Help me to seek your face. Over in Philippians, we're going to read three little passages in Philippians 4. If I just read them all together, it wouldn't, you know, over in Paul's writings, he tends to stick things in there that are like, well, wait a minute, where'd that come from? But over in Philippians 4, first we'll do 11 through 13. Again, a very familiar passage. Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Stop right there for a minute. Have we learned that? Do we understand that no matter what's going on, I belong to the Lord and I can be at peace? I can take comfort in the fact that God has got me. I don't need to have the answers. I need to trust God. Verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Sometimes we have nothing. Sometimes we have more than enough. Have we learned how to deal with whatever comes? Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what's coming up, no matter what the circumstances are, if I rely upon the Lord, He gives me the strength. If I seek His face, He gives me the strength to face whatever comes. And I can be at peace, and I can be patient, and I can be understanding, and I can be trusting. We have to come to the same understanding, the same mindset that Jim Elliot had when he said, he is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. We can't keep our life. We can't keep anything. We don't own anything. But as we trust the Lord to give what we cannot keep to gain that which we cannot lose, gain the trust of knowing that our eternal salvation is set because of who God is, not because of who we are. Still in Philippians 4, go to verse 18. Paul says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is taking care of me. God will take care of you. That same confidence that he had. I have learned how to be abased and I've learned how to abound. I've learned that no matter what's going on, God is the one who keeps me. And just as he is able to keep me and I can say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I can tell you that God will supply all that you need as well. That's a comfort. That's a foundational fact. That the God who loves me, who has me written on the palm of his hands, who inhabits the praises of his people, who will never leave me nor forsake me, is constantly with me. And he was constantly with you. And Paul can say that not only is God taking care of me, not only can I rest in the fact that I have a relationship with the Lord, but I recognize that just as he's worked in me, he will work in you as well. And it can encourage other people around him. That refreshing, not only refreshing, being refreshed himself, but also refreshing others by pointing them to the Lord. Final passage, still in Philippians 4. But going back to verse 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Read that one again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Very, very similar to another verse that says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are we thankful no matter what our circumstances are, because we're not moved by our circumstances, we're moved by our relationship with the Lord. We are not hindered. We are not held down by our circumstances, but rather God has us. God is working in us. Or can we be encouraged by that? Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The way we conduct ourselves is a testimony of our relationship with the Lord. The way we treat other people, the way we reach out to other people, the way we talk mean to other people, guilty, is the reflection of our relationship with the Lord. But God is still at work. Keeping on, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Again, we're talking about being refreshed. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As we bring our petitions before the Lord, as we tell the Lord what's going on in our hearts, as we draw close to the Lord and seek His face and work on that relationship, part of the outcome is the peace of knowing that no matter what's going on around me, no matter what my circumstances or situation is, I get a peace from God that surpasses all understanding. That doesn't make sense to the people around me. I can be calm in the midst of a storm. I can be calm in the midst of turmoil. I can be calm when everything seems to be going wrong because I know who holds tomorrow. We get the peace that refreshes us, the strength to face whatever comes because of who God is. God shows Himself faithful. As we look at the Scriptures, as we go through this, recognizing that God is calling us to seek His face. God is calling us to draw close to Him. Not to be overwhelmed by the things going on around us. Not to be anxious for anything. But by seeking His face. By drawing close to Him. By working on the relationship with Him. He's promised to watch over and keep us. Now God will watch over and keep you whether or not you are laying things down. God will watch over and keep you whether or not you're allowing yourself to get in turmoil. But we won't have the peace. I don't have the peace when I don't seek God. He is faithful, I am not. He is holy, I am not. But by trusting Him, drawing close to Him, gives us the peace that passes the understanding, gives us the refreshing that we need. Because when we try to do things in our own strength, we will just wear down. But by trusting Him, by drawing close to Him, by seeking His face, by laying down our lives and recognizing He is God and I am not, He has the answers and I don't. He is holy and I am not. The weight comes off because I'm not trying to do it in my own strength anymore. I am rather trusting in the grace and mercy and love of God. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You. We do thank You, Father, for Your Word. We know, Lord, Your Word is true. You have been faithful. You are faithful in every way. As we sing, what a faithful God have I. You are faithful in every way. You are faithful, Lord. And You have been and continue to be. And You draw us into relationship with You. And You impart to us Your righteousness. And You still draw us, Lord, and direct our steps. Father, as we meditate on Your Word, as we think of the things that You've said, as we recognize this, that it is Your will to bring us to times of refreshing, just as the prophets have said, just as Peter said there at the temple. It is Your will to bring us to times of refreshing, to times of laying down our own cares and laying down our own concerns, and rather seeking Your face and drawing close to You, not worrying about the things going on around us, Lord, but trusting in You. Not being distracted by the things of everyday life, but recognizing that we are bought with a price and we serve a holy God who calls us to be holy. And not only calls us to be holy, Father, but makes us able because You impart Your holiness, Your righteousness to us, that we might boldly come before the throne of grace, standing in the character, honor, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ because of Your work. So, Father, we give praise and thanks for that. We give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.